Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture tonight will start in the book of Psalm 145. And it reads, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and exalt your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyful sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all who he has made. Amen. Our reading tonight again was Psalms 145, verse 1 through 9. Are you telling for his goodness? Were you able to reach out and tell someone today of just his goodness, just how good he's been to you? I encourage each and every one of you right now, just to take a moment here and think of some things that God has done today. Think of his goodness in your life today. And I know you may have saw similar to wonderful goodness in others today, but right now, I just want you to think of some of the things that he's done for you personally. Some good things he's done for you personally. I'll start you off. If you're listening to this broadcast today, he woke you up this morning. We shouldn't take it for granted, sisters and brothers. That's a good thing. If we could just stand back and see what he sees, see what the woman sees that did not wake up this morning. It's an honor for him to have touched us and woke us up this morning. I'll help you a little bit more. If you were able to clothe yourself, give him birth, that's a great movement right there. Somebody woke up, but their body was their enemy. They were not able to tell the body what to do. Hand wouldn't move when they tried to respond. Legs wouldn't move when they told it to. The brain and the nerves and the limbs did not talk to each other. But if we were able to move and clothe ourselves, if we were able to feed ourselves, if we woke up and all our loved ones were alive, doing well, we may didn't even stop to think about the goodness of that. We may immediately jump up and start arguing at the kids about being late or arguing at your spouse about something that's going on for that really doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter. We should give God praise for all of those small details. Have you ever considered waking up one morning and all of that is gone? You know, write your own movie. And you sit there and you look at that movie in your own mind. How would that be for you? If you woke up and all of these things that you take for granted every day was no longer there, then what would be? How would you survive? What would you do? How would you make it? You know, even that job that you complain about, what if it wasn't there? You know, it's just so much. If you have food in your cabinet, in your refrigerator, in your deep freezer, if you have more than even enough for you right now, if you have more than what your family could eat right now, do you know how much of a blessing that is? If you have a roof over your head, shelter right now. Somebody is praying for shelter. And you may be complaining because your shelter doesn't match up to someone else. But someone would love to be just right there in your shoes right now. Someone would love to have that vehicle that you're driving around in. It may not look like something that's what you wanted, but it's where you're at right now in your life. And you said, I'm too old to be back right here, but that's where you're at right now. So Someone would love to have that. I encourage you, when you get to your meetings and it's time for you to move on up a little higher, you make sure you bless somebody with what you got. Stop trying to sell everything to everybody. It's a blessing to somebody. If Jesus has blessed you, bless somebody else. Amen. And then the word says that every day I will praise you. I just remind you that every day we should be praising God. Says, great is the Lord and most worthy of our praise. You know, his greatness is true. No one can fathom. We try to get around it and we just forget about it and we just give praise to so many other things in life, the alarm clock. I predict all kinds of alarm clocks to the cemetery right now that, no one can hear them. No one will respond because of out of those graves. So what I'm telling you is that alarm clock did not wake you up this morning. Then it tells us that one generation will commend your works to another. How is your generation to come going to be able to praise and commend God's works if you don't show them through you? You don't teach them. They're doing what you're teaching them to do. And then you wonder why your kids grow up and they're doing all the things. So that's the only thing they saw you do. That's what you have them around. You're exposed to them more of that than you did of the word. You may not have been participating in it, but you left them out there in a world that is more polluted. You left them out there longer than you left them in the word. You can take them to church, but you got to teach them to have a relationship with Christ. And you're responsible. You are responsible for that generation being able to pass it on to the next generation. Amen? If you give all the credit to the ones that's around you, to your boss, to everything except Jesus Christ, they will have no idea. And so they're able and hear the word themselves, or are able as children to hear the word themselves. But you are responsible until they get it. You are responsible. You know, if we think back again on what are the things that God has done to me today, how has God loved on you today? Did you almost have an incident today? Did you almost get in trouble at work today? Did you almost forget something important today? Did the doctor say you almost could have died today? Yeah, God has been loving on each and every one of us today. And yet so many times we ask that question, does God really love me? You know, life can hit us with some unexpected and even undesirable circumstances. That's life. And when that happens, shock, pain, can make us wonder sometimes. You know, how am I going to survive this? Am I ever going to be the same? Can I ever get back to where I was? How do I live now without this in my life, or that in my life, or that person in my life? And it makes us wonder sometimes, does God really care about me? And if you open up and start messing with that, the enemy will pour all kind of dirty garbage in your thoughts, in your mind. And that feeling that you're feeling, you start feeling it for years, and you just get sorrowful and more cheerful, and you're just starting to be living into a life that is just closed in. It's like you're closing yourself in a box. It's like the enemy wants to separate you from anything that may give you power to lead you to the Lord, that may give you joy to lead you to the Lord. That he wants to separate you. And he tells you, you don't need nobody, but just listen to me. And you're just getting more and more depressed. You know, it's really astonishing just to see how many people are diagnosed with depression. In 2013, depression, and it's not the old people or the single mothers or just people in circumstances that we say, oh, maybe there would be depression, but even young children these days are being diagnosed with depression. Are there mothers saying things like, oh, you know, I've always battled with being depressed, and you know, he's been like that ever since he was 2 or 3. Why are you putting that on your child? Is that why there's just so many people that, you know, just feel like they can't take it anymore? They have to have something to keep on doing it? But when you're wondering, does God really care about you? We just wanted to go over to some scriptures tonight that will help you in your answer. Because I don't want to pull up anything for you. If you know anything about me, I'm going to come at you for real. And that's not hard or anything, but I'm just going to try to give you a real answer. I want to give you a real solution. And if I don't have that answer, I'll put it on the parking lot and I'll tell you, hey, I will get back with you. I will seek more information for that and try to get you an answer because I want you to have a real answer. I don't want anything that's just something to say or something that's just going to pacify you for the moment, what I'm trying to say. So first of all, if we look at 1 John 4:8, the scripture tells us that God is love. Now, we're dealing with this subject, does God love me? Does he really care about me? Well, we know that he is love, according to the scriptures, and we believe the scriptures, right? And if you're like me, I believe all of the scriptures, not some of the scriptures, but I believe all of the scriptures. So now that I have that in my pattern, my thought pattern, I know that God loves me, because God is love. He created me, and if he is love, then he loves me. And then second, let's just do a little bit deeper with that one first of all. Now, when it tells me that God is love, you know, that really means that his very nature is characterized by his compassion and his concern for us. If God is love, that tells us that he has some compassion. If he's love, you've got to have concern. So compassion and concern is a part of his character. So we know that his character is love. His love originated with the Lord. Love starts with love. He is love. And he's our greatest example of how to express love. Now you think about when you first fell in love with someone. Someone may have told you all the puppy love, or we may have called it all kinds of different things, but as far as you just did not want to let this person out of your sight. You just loved seeing this person, talking to this person, just hearing their name, just writing their name down. Just a lot of little things. All of that brought true happiness to you. Just think back on that. Just think about now. Even something you may have fallen in love with. You know, we fall in love with our new homes and our cars and new items that we purchase to go in our homes. And just think about how that, you know, it feels just to walk into your home and to see all these items that you have personally selected for your home or for that new car that you know you saved up for. And you've been waiting on this item for so long. And now you can finally afford it, and it's yours. I'm just thinking of love, something that you can appreciate, something that gives you that feeling that you say, yeah, Minister Vaughn, I understand what you're talking about. I've got an item in my mind. I'm thinking of an item that I feel that for, I felt that for. I just want you to get that feeling, that grip on love. Amen? Well, God is love again. It was love originated with the Lord. And he gives us the perfect example of how to express that love. You ever love someone or something so much that you just can't even express it. And so it may have to be expressed with tears because words just wasn't available at the time. You just did not find the right word. Our couple getting married and they're so happy with each other, they just shed tears as an expression of love. See, this truth combined with His holiness, it means His love is perfect. His compassion, His concern, and you combine that with His holiness, and it equals the perfect love. He has never made a mistake in the way that He loves. I repeat, He will never make a mistake in the way that He loves us. I want to take my time with this because we all are searching so hard in so many ways from so many people in different angles to be loved. Whether we hide it behind something else, but, you know, we all want to be loved. We're built to be loved. We just find ourselves speaking the wrong people in the wrong way to find that love many times. And the fact that we know God's love is because He calls us His children. So we know that He loves us. He calls us His children. And even you have friends and different people in your life, associates, but, you know, sometimes when you really deep down, you call someone your child. But we know that God loves us because of it. It says in the Word that to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Not a magic word name, He gave to those who believe in His name. It's a privilege to know God. It's a privilege to have Him as your Father. Children of God. That's what John writes in his gospel. You know, sadly, some people don't have a mother or a father who shows them love. But God is the perfect parent. And we're going to get this character to treat His children anything less than unconditional love. You know, a quick little personal note. I remember back when my kids were small, and it was this young man. It just didn't seem like that he had anyone. And he had his mother that's who he stayed with, but the situation was not a good one at all. And he was around and saw a lot of things that a young man in elementary school should not be seeing all of his life. Perhaps he had been seeing this and dealing with this and from here to there and just landing wherever, and she was just running back and forth, not because they didn't have somewhere, but just the lifestyle that she had brought him up in. And in middle school, he actually met my son and just immediately attached. And it really hurt my heart just to see some of the stuff he went through to the point that his mom didn't like me because of that. And it was a short relationship that we had with him. It was a school shooting, and it just happened to be that it wasn't intended shooting. The kid was actually messing with the gun. Someone else had bought a gun to school and showed it to him. This kid that he had showed it to was messing with the gun, and it went off, and it just so happened that this young man that I was speaking of with the hardship life, was sitting in front of the student that was looking at the gun, and so it shot him in the back of his head, and he was gone. And so we hear the news that it was a shooting at that school, and of course all of the parents were frantic. And I can remember leaving work, and I couldn't get to the school, and my sister had went and picked up my two kids who went to that school, and all I could do was just go home. And I went home, and my kids came in, and immediately, you you know, we embraced, and they were very upset, and they told me who the child was. And when I was talking about who the child was, as devastating as it was, I just thought about the same thing here, that some people just don't have a mother or father here on earth that will show them the love that they deserve. And I just thought about that this child now has a perfect parent that he's had all along that kept him safe. And now he's in the arms of that perfect parent. And I just thought about that God just did not want his child to go through that mistreatment any longer. He said, I'm just not going to stand for it. And so he said, if you can't treat him right, I'm taking him home. And I just felt like that it was just a relief for everyone who really knew that situation. Because God is that perfect parent. And that was just a situation that just came to mind as I was studying for and preparing for this study tonight. That, Terrence, I know you're glad that you're home. You are home. And you get to experience God's ultimate, infinite love. Amen? He is the perfect parent. And it would go against his character. It would go against everything about him to treat his children with anything less than unconditional love. And it's always the Lord being the supreme demonstration of his love at the cross, right? Because we were all dead in our sin. We had no way of getting back to God. We would just be dead in our sin. But Christ went to the greatest length possible just to give us life. Eternal life. He came to earth, hallelujah, as an expression of his Father's infinite love for us. And given his life on our behalf, did what no one else was able to do. That's love. Now, after considering these facts about God's love, how can we not expect him to take care of even the smallest details of our lives? And I don't want to bother God with that. Even the smallest details God is concerned with in our life. Hallelujah. I don't care what it is. Look for ways that he is expressing his love to you. Start paying attention to the ways that he's expressing his love to you. It's not a day that goes by that he's not trying to talk to you, communicate with you, love on you. And I challenge you to start looking for those ways. Making that money come when you know that you had no idea that some money was heading your way. But you know that you need it. Giving you that promotion when you know that you hadn't did right in the position you was in. You may not have even applied for the position, but they called you for the ways that God is loving on you. Amen? He's always expressing his love for us. And remember Jesus' own words on the subject of love. It said, greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. Greater love is no one than this. He loves us. He truly wants the best for us. And we have to learn to rely on our all-sufficient God. There's our problems around us sometimes get us all mixed up. And we think that there's no way for this to get beat because it's impossible sometimes to work through these issues. But he is all sufficient. And we should be taking advantage of that. We have an all sufficient God. So just because doctors say it, God bless, and I know they say what they see, doesn't mean it's over. I'm not saying that they're wrong in what they see. that I diagnose what they see, what they was taught to look for. But God is an all-sufficient God. Most people will just scoff at the idea of the inadequacy as the way the Lord blesses his believers. The feeling can be so disheartening that it seems illogical to think in terms of benefits. And we talked about that yesterday just with surrendering. You don't want to surrender because you think that, oh, I'm not going to move forward if I surrender. But surrendering in this case is just actually turning the control over to God. So yet, Christians can use shortcomings as stepping stones to bless them. So your inadequacies can be used. It can be stepping stones to bless. You know, first, our inadequacies forces us to do our work in the power of the Holy Spirit. Anything that puts us on our knees and drives us to God has to be God. It has to be allowed because it's good. Our inadequacy sometimes force us to do our work in the power of the Holy Spirit. It brings us to our knees. It brings us closer to God. And then awareness of our limitations can relieve us of the burden of trying to do God's will in our own strength. When we figure out what our limitations is, I've tried everything. It's not in your power. It's not going to be done with your strength. So it can relieve us of the burden of just trying to do God's will in our own strength. Because we'll put the Holy Spirit, who will be crushed by the weight of all the world's problems, we cannot carry. And then another blessing is that such awareness frees the Lord to use us to the maximum of our potential. When we're lonely enough to fill our need, and then God will raise us up to great heights. And we talked about that with Gideon. Stay on our knees in prayer, praying to God. God can use us. When we surrender it all, and we throw our hands up and just surrender and say, I give my whole life to you. I surrender it all. That's when God can use us. That's when God can just bring us to our most potential. He can raise us up to great heights. And then, you know, acknowledging our shortcomings does us a stopping force, too. Just acknowledging our shortcomings, it allows God to get all the glory for his work. Spiritually minded people can tell when something is of God and what is not. You are in the Spirit. The glory will rightfully go to the Lord. Acknowledging your shortcomings, that you're not able to do it by yourself. It just gives God all the glory, but you know it had to be the Lord. Hallelujah. Our inadequacies can enable us to live in contentment, enable us to live in quietness of our spirit. Either we give God our burden and seek striving, or we will proceed with our own strength and become overwhelmed. Over and over again. So we either going to give God our burden, or we can keep on trying with our own self. We'll do it ourselves. We don't need no one. I can do it on my own. You're never, ever overcome anything. You just become overwhelmed. And like the Apostle Paul said, we shouldn't claim competence in ourselves. But rather we need to learn to acknowledge that our adequacy is from God. So the question is, what area in your life are you trying to manage on your own power? What area in your life are you struggling, trying to manage with your own power? Who are you trying to impress? I invite you to just relinquish all control to God. Anticipate God's blessings in your life, knowing that He desires good for His children. And then He can direct your pathway. He can direct your power to get this that you're trying to get, where you're trying to get to. But in the meantime, when you're trying on your own and you're fighting and struggling, you know, you've been to the doctor, he's told you, you've got to slow down. You've got to start making some difference and changes in your life. This is not working for you. You're getting worse and worse. You say, but how can I ever stop? I'm trying to work my hardest. I'm trying to gain this. I'm trying to do this. Turn your control over to God. He knows the desires of your heart. Maybe the things that are in your heart is not His desires. He said He would give you the desires of your heart. So allow Him to do that. Allow Him to place the desires in your heart that He wants to give to you. You can stop running around like a rat chasing after something that you're never going to be able to catch. And you can still get to where it is that you thought. You'll get beyond where you thought you was going to go. It's beyond what you can even dream of. Eyes have not even seen. Ears have not even heard. You can't even conceive the things that God wants for you. The blessings that He's trying to restore in your life. Right here, right now. You see, most of the feelings of inadequacy are enemies to be subdued rather than friends to be employed. Now, in some cases, though, these feelings can prepare us for great accomplishment. And that's what the Apostle Paul discovered when he set out to preach the gospel to all creation. See, in spite of his great learnings and various gifts, Paul acknowledged that he was not sufficient in himself to minister for the Lord. Amen? That he himself was not sufficient within himself to minister for the Lord. But by taking that attitude, he was able to step out beyond his own personal limits and start tapping into that supernatural power. Because he's ministering for the Lord. So he should not be willing to do it on his own. That's why you see so many people jump out and they want to do this and do that. But without that power, that supernatural anointing power, you will find yourself somewhere embarrassed. And then you see them saying one thing and you start listening, is this really the word of God? No anointing, no power. And then you see themselves doing the things that worse than you see some of the people that they're preaching to doing. No anointing, no power. Hallelujah. So by taking that attitude, God was able to allow Paul to draw off of his power to do the things that he wanted him to do. To step out beyond his own personal limits. And many times we fail to follow suit because we so easily surrender to our inadequacy. And we may use our limitations sometimes even as excuses for not taking on difficult assignments. All too often we say, I can't do this, or I don't want that responsibility. You know, even when faced with God's call to serve in some area, we'll say, no, that's never been my strength. I don't want to get involved with that. No, you're asking the wrong person. No, that's not what I do. Let me go back over here and just usher. Let me go back over here and just do this or that. I know what I'm good at, so that's as far as I want to go. So we hide behind that to keep us from fulfilling God's His call on us to serve in different areas. Many times. But just to let you know, our excuses are unacceptable. Because, you see, the Holy Spirit will empower us for any task that the Lord assigns. If he assigns it to you, he will give it to you and carry it through. He's not asking you to do something that you have perfected. He is the perfecter. So the Holy Spirit will empower you for any task that God assigns you. Now, unless we claim God's supernatural power, we do run the risk of multiplied failures over and over again. And you find yourself in your three generations, and you just get taught the same way, and the generations are still failing and failing and just losing and losing, because we need to make sure, again, we have the power. We need to claim God's supernatural power. We don't have it. You can't work hard enough for it. You can't buy it. But that's supernatural power to get us what we need. See, first of all, we miss out on the joy, the peace, the contentment. From stepping out in faith down to the Lord's impossible goal. Then in addition, sometimes our hesitancy may deprive other people of the benefit of our service. Someone is waiting to hear the word that God has put inside of you. Somebody may be in a nursing home waiting to just hear you. Just come and read the word to them. Or just that you come and visit them. But you hesitate because you say, well, I don't know how to get started, or I don't really even like being around people. But why is it, you know, why do you think God has put that off, that desire off in your heart? He has the way made already for you. Amen? Perhaps you feel that you don't have a lot to offer. But if you are a child of God, he has equipped each and every one of us with everything you need for serving him. I remind you in my closing tonight, never underestimate the impact of one person who has learned how to depend upon the adequacy of Almighty God. Never underestimate. You know, they said he was Jesus. Isn't that Joseph's boy over there? You know, who is he? None of these out here. He's saying that he's a Messiah. Never underestimate the impact of one person. You keep right on going and doing what you do. If God said it and you heard it and he's just opening the doors for you and it's lined up with the word of God, you keep right on going, even though they may say, in that Sue's boy, in that Mary Jo's daughter, never underestimate what your life can do and who it's going to impact. You keep on moving. Because once you learn how to depend on God, the almighty power, and his love, his supreme love, you know, people probably not going to believe it that you're able to forgive that person of what they've done. But you're able to forgive them and never let them. Don't fear that. You keep on doing what God said. You know, there are levels in faith, levels of faith in a believer's life. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. There are levels of faith in a believer's life. And then just have an increased faith. Don't you want to increase your faith? Well, I remind you, start your day off of just asking God to take control and live through you today. And I remind you to just thank God. Look out for the ways that God is trying to bless you. Look out for the ways that God is just trying to show you his love. Look at all the different ways throughout the day that God is just blocking you from sickness and hurt, harm, and death. He's got a thing. He's got a plan. He really likes you. He thinks you're pretty neat. After all, he created you. Why don't you take out a little time and just speak to him? Just talk to him. Some little things about yourself that you may not understand. He has the answers. You know, you can have that perfect, intimate relationship with the Lord. And the more closer you get to him, the closer he'll bring you to your spouse. The closer he'll bring you to your dreams.
the closer he'll bring you through every situation.
But you don't know right now if you would die. If you're not for sure that you wake up for your eternity, that's a long time. If you're just not for sure, why not take this chance? What if I'm right? Just repeat after me. Invite Christ to come and live inside of you. And invite Christ to come and dwell in you. All right, here we go. Thank you, Jesus. God, I come before you as a sinner. I'm asking you to clean my slate. I believe that you are the one and only God, and that you gave your only begotten Son for my sin, that would bring me back to you one day, that I would not have to live for eternity separated from you, but instead, I can come to a place that you've already prepared for me, a place of goodness and hope, a place of forgiveness. I need you to forgive me for all of my sins. And I invite you to come and live inside of me and be my Lord and Savior forever and evermore. Amen. Amen. If you just pray this prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. That feeling is the feeling you feel in life. That's just the beginning. That's just the Christ inside of you. That's the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Now I invite you to come and let somebody know of your decision to follow Christ. So you're going to need a prayer partner. You're going to need somebody to talk to get you on the road. You're not sure which direction to go? You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Well, God loves you more than anything in the world, and he's thinking about you. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And we'll come back and talk about it tomorrow, okay? All right, God bless you. Bye-bye.